Armstrong once said, "All music is folk music. I ain't never heard a horse sing a song." Today, we'll use a more traditional definition of folk music. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Karen Impla, host of The Folk Tree, heard on Iowa Public Radio's Studio One stream Sunday afternoons from 1 to 5, will be here to share with us her favorite folk music releases from the past year. Then in the second half of the show, Barney Sherman will be here to share his favorite new classical music releases. Barney can be heard each weekday morning from 7 to 11 a.m. on our classical music stream. Please join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. As the year draws to a close, we're going to take a look back today at some of the best music releases in both folk music and classical music. In the second half of the show, Barney Sherman from Iowa Public Radio's Classic Music Stream will be here to talk about his favorite classical music releases. But first, we're going to talk to Karen Impla, who is the host of The Folk Tree, heard on the Iowa Public Radio Studio One stream on Sunday afternoons from 1 to 5 p.m. Hello, Karen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
And I guess we should just jump right in. And if you'd like to join our conversation and share some of your favorite folk music releases from the year, give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, join the conversation on Facebook, or send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Karen, what's your number one selection?
Well, you know, this was hard to do. I looked through playlists through the year, and I came up with a list of about 20, and then I had to eliminate some. But I think my number one is Tim O'Brien's new one called The Chicken and Egg. Tim O'Brien, I don't know, is just – I love Tim O'Brien. I don't know what else I could say. He's kind of mostly bluegrass. He sort of straddles into the old-timey era, and he – well, he's a great musician, great songwriter, and the album before this was all just him playing solo. But this one, he brought some other folks into the studio, and according to the notes, they just kind of played and didn't do a lot of pre-planning, didn't do a lot of rehearsing, but they're all great musicians, and great stuff resulted. The track that we're going to hear has Tim playing banjo and singing, obviously. Dennis Crouch plays the bass. Stuart Duncan plays the fiddle. And Brian Sutton plays the mandolin. And it's a song called Old Joe. It was co-written by John Smith, who some of our listeners might know of. John Smith is an Iowa native, although he now lives in southwestern Wisconsin. And I played him a lot, too. And he's played live on our airwaves as well. Anyway, Tim O'Brien from the album Chicken and Egg. This is Old Joe.
All right, let's listen.
Outside of town where the bodies are buried, the bodies are buried outside of town. They decorate the graves with the flowers they carry all scattered around. Stones, she cuts the vines that grow in between. Old Joe works at the cemetery, just keeping it clean. Old Joe carries a spade and a shovel to the top of the hill. He gets a rhythm and he starts digging, he starts singing with the whippoorwill. Sing along.
That's Old Joe, Tim O'Brien, from his album Chicken and Egg. And Karen, your next selection, Tim O'Brien had something to do with it, too.
Right. He was the producer. It's the Irish band Grotta. Their album's called A Natural Angle. And Grotta has kind of, well, they started out being more or less a pretty straight, traditional Irish band. But on this one, they've kind of branched out. There may be somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic now, with Tim O'Brien being an American producing, and he plays banjo on this track. And they include, this is an interesting one. Lewis Collins is a song by Mississippi John Hurt, who's one of the great American country blues players. I don't know. I think that there is some kind of common thread. I mean, a lot of American music came from influences from the British Isles and then influences from Africa, and it all mixed together into American music. So maybe it makes sense for an Irish band to be playing blues. I don't know, but it's an interesting result anyway. Mississippi John Hurt song by an Irish band. This is Grata.
The angels laid him away. Angels laid him away. They laid him 6 feet under the clay. The angels laid him away. Oh, kind sir, now isn't it sad to see poor Lewis in a new graveyard?
That's Grata, and that is a very unusual sound. I yeah. love that, though, listening to a Mississippi blues song that way. So, very surprising. Have you noticed any trends this year among new releases in folk?
Oh, well, I was kind of looking at my list and seeing that there's a lot of people who've been around for years, like Tim O'Brien, and we'll hear Peter Rowan. But what I think is encouraging is that there are still young bands playing folk music. We'll hear from, if we get time, we'll hear from the Carolina Chocolate Drops, who are a bunch of, I think, probably all still in their 20s, as are the Cotters from Nova Scotia. I'm just glad to see traditions being carried on. I think in general, there's probably a trend toward more drums and more, you know, maybe a little bit of rock influences in a lot of things. But that's not just this year. That's over a longer period of time.
Have you noticed a lot of changes in production values? You mentioned on the first one, the Tim O'Brien album that they just got together and played, which is the traditional way of playing folk music and the traditional way of making an album. But of course, in pop music, there's so much done after the playing is
right.
over. Well, do you notice that in folk music too?
I think in folk music there is a trend toward doing exactly what Tim O'Brien did. I mean, I've heard musicians say, you know, you go into the studio and, well, it makes more sense just to record and play and not try to do a lot of processing to it afterward. Even in live performance these days, some bands are going back to what people did in like the very early days of radio, which is to get a very sensitive omnidirectional mic and everybody just gather around the mic and you're sort of mixing yourself in the space rather than having an engineer mix things by turning dials up and down on a board. So, you know, I guess with folk music, the object is to have what's on the recording sound like what you would hear if you were actually in a room with the musicians.
Well, we should probably keep moving on with our list because we have a lot of great songs to listen to. What's your third choice today?
Okay. Third is Annie Gallup, who's a singer-songwriter and sounds like nobody else. And this album is, if it's possible to say, even more unique than most of hers. The album is called Weather, and it's subtitled A Collection of Songs Arranged for Voice and String Quartet. And that's what it is. She is not all that traditional sounding as a songwriter, But this one has got a kind of nursery rhyme feel to it. So it's kind of, you know, kind of sounds like a traditional melody in that point, which is not typical for her. But it is her and a string quartet. It's a really interesting project. And the song we're going to hear is called Blacktop Boardwalk. She's just wonderful with wordplay. I mean, I'm not quite sure what this song means, but it sounds, the words just are a lot of fun.
Streets of Venice couldn't be hotter. All I wanted was a glass of water, but the waiter brought wine. When I did a pantomime, later brought whiskey. When I drew a picture, Venice sun is setting on Venice. City is sinking, and if you'd understood me too, honey, I would not be up all night drinking, no, babe. Sitting on a red bird perch, flies on the spider web, spies on the pew while the choir sang. Nearer my God to you, oh babe. They were ringing up the rafters, babe. They were calling up the ether.
I wish we could listen to all of that. That is fascinating. But I guess that's this. The whole thing is this is a tease, right?
Right, right.
So that was Annie Gallup with Blacktop Boardwalk. And we may not get a chance to hear much of the next one, but let's talk into it really quickly, your selection
okay,
number
well,
four.
Peter Rowan, who is just kind of a bluegrass god, but does a lot of other things as well. He's got a new album. It's the Peter Rowan Bluegrass Band, which includes Jody Stecker, who is another one of my favorites. And I can't believe he's kind of taking a supporting role in somebody else's band. This is, I guess it's kind of a Buddhist gospel song. It's called Across the Rolling Hills.
Across the rolling hills I come riding. Across the rolling hills I come riding. Across the rolling hills I ramble at my will. Across the rolling hills I come riding. With my banner in the wind I come riding. With my banner in the wind I come riding. With my banner in the wind I'm coming on again. Across the rolling hills I come riding.
That's the Peter Rowan Bluegrass Band from the album Legacy, Across the Rolling Hills. And my guest today is Karen Impola. We're talking about her favorite folk music releases from the last year. Karen Impola is host of The Folk Tree, heard on the Iowa Public Radio Studio One stream on Sunday afternoons from 1 to 5. And she's got some more selections to share with us. Also, in about 10 minutes, Barney Sherman is going to join us to talk about his favorite classical music releases. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're taking a look back at the best new folk releases from the past year, and in about 10 minutes, we're going to start looking at the best new classical music releases from the past year. Barney Sherman from Iowa Public Radio's Classical Music Stream will be here in about 10 minutes, and my guest right now is Karen Impola, who is host of The Folk Tree, heard on Iowa Public Radio's Studio One stream on Sunday afternoons from 1 to 5, and Karen, I can't believe how fast time is going, so let's talk about number five.
Okay, this is a band called The Cotters, and they are from Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, where Celtic traditions remain very strong. It was a very isolated area for a long time, and people actually do, you know, have fiddle and dance parties in their home still today and stuff like that. So the Cotters, they have, I think this is their fourth album, but it's only the second one that's been released in the U.S. They've been around since the early 2000s, but I think they were all teenagers at that point. They've gone through some personnel changes, but a couple of the original members are still in the band. And this is actually a song, a contemporary song, but it's in a very traditional kind of style. It was written by Peter Knight, who's from the British folk rock band Steel Eye Span. And the song is called Seagull. And apparently the stuff it talks about Three in a Bed. It has something to do with a game that you play in English pubs called Shove Halfpenny. It's kind of some kind of a board game, apparently. That's what I found from the liner notes, anyway. So this is The Cotters, and the song is called Seagull.
Inside her. Seagull, seagull, three in a bed. Seagull, seagull.
That's Seagull from the Cotters from their album Feast, and we'll just keep rolling along. I hope we can make it through this list tonight. I need to tell you, we will post this list on our website and also on our Facebook page after the show. We'll post whatever we don't get to, too.
Right.
So your work of whittling it down to 10 will not be in vain. But let's go to number 6.
All right. Who is also from Nova Scotia, although actually born in St. John's, Newfoundland. And I sort of wonder why there's so much great music coming out of Canada in the folk realm, but there is. Anyway, Amelia Curran is a singer-songwriter, definitely not Celtic, not very traditional. I had not heard of her before this album showed up, but apparently she's got at least one other, and she's been winning awards in Canada. The album is called Hunter Hunter, and the song is called The Dozens. She reminds me of both Gillian Welsh and Tom Waits, if you can imagine a cross between those two.
All my lovers think I'm lovely in the morning when I wake, when I roll in folds of slumber, when I caress, I give and take. All my enemies are just like me. They're a fatalist mistake. An abandoning of deities, the slowest interstate. Let the bakers have their dozens. Let the coppers get their man. Let doctor, lawyer, fixer for you, catch her if they can.
That's a very different Nova Scotia sound. You're right. That's Amelia Curran.
Mm-hmm. Curran, I believe.
Curran, all right, Curran, with The Dozens, and number 7.
All right. Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin. This is another one that just showed up, and I hadn't really heard of these people before. I looked at their website, and it throws the word bluegrass around a lot, but I don't really hear it. Stephanie Bettman is a fiddle player, but she also does a lot of songwriting, and her partner Luke Halpin does a little bit of songwriting too. This is one of Stephanie's songs, and it's kind of just this anthemic, very uplifting song. It's got a kind of almost a 60s feel to it. And the other thing I learned about by looking at their website is that she is a trapeze artist. I suppose that doesn't come across on CDs very well, but interesting trivia.
Good skill to have.
Right. So she's been a circus performer and as well as a folk performer. Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin, the CD is called It All Comes Back to Love, and the song is I Just Want to Love You.
It seems to me that there's a shadow on the sun, but I keep on saying that sunny days will come again. They will come again. Seems to be a tragic contradiction in the world of right and wrong and who belongs and the meaning in the name of God. The name of God. And hey, what can I say?
Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin, and that's I Just Want to Love You from the album It All Comes Back to Love. Yes, doesn't sound bluegrassy to me, but there is more bluegrass on the album?
Yeah, some of it. I'd say it's more folky sounding than bluegrass. I mean, I looked at the website and I just thought, what? Why are you describing yourself as bluegrass? But there is stuff that's more that doesn't have drums and is more kind of fiddle-based, but I still don't see it as very bluegrassy.
Well, I think we've got three more left on the list, and I'd love to play us out with the next one. So why don't you just give us the title and the briefest description of numbers 9 and 10, and then we'll talk a little bit more about number 8.
Oh, okay. Well, number 9 is a French-Canadian band called Genticorum. The album actually came out in 2008, but they played here this year, and so we first got the album, I chose an a cappella track, which is great sort of traditional French-Canadian call-and-response kind of singing. The 10th one is also an a cappella song by Claudia Schmidt, who is sort of the quintessential Midwestern folk singer. She's been performing since the 70s. But number 8 that we're going to go out hearing is the Carolina Chocolate Drops. Their album's called Genuine Negro Jig, which is actually the name of one of the tunes on it. They are some young performers who have kind of researched and gotten into the black string band tradition. You might think, oh, black people all played blues and white people all played old-timey music, but there was a lot of crossover between the two, and there is a definite black string band tradition. So this is a song called Trouble in Your Mind.
And before we get to the song, the Carolina Chocolate Drop seems to be one of those groups that it's bubbling up in a lot of different places and seems to be getting attention outside of the folk realm as well. Is this one of these groups that is just going to be known by everyone, or am I spending too much time listening to NPR?
Well, it would be nice. I know they've been on Fresh Air, and I'm sure they've been on other shows. They're just a very interesting band, and they cover a lot of different ground on this CD, but I picked a track that's kind of the straight old-timey music.
All right, Karen, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Karen Impala is host of The Folk Tree, heard on the Iowa Public Radio Studio One Stream Sunday afternoons from 1 to 5. We will post her list on our website and on our Facebook page after the show today, and we're going to play out now with the Carolina Chocolate Drops with Trouble in Your Mind. That's the Carolina Chocolate Drops, Trouble in Your Mind, from their album Genuine Negro Jig. And that was one of the selections from Karen Impala. Now we're going to shift gears completely, and we're going to talk about classical music. Barney Sherman is here with us. He is the host of the Classical Music each weekday morning between 7 and 11 a.m. on the Iowa Public Radio Classical Music Stream. And he's taking off early this morning, so you can come over to the news stream. Hello, Barney.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for getting somebody to cover for you in the other studio.
It's great to be here.
Well, I suppose we should probably dive right in, too, because the time goes awfully fast. So, Barney, what's your first pick today?
It's a piece called Bridge of Song by a Finnish composer named Veljo Tormis. It's from a CD called Baltic Ruins. Now, you have to help me with this, Charity. It's spelled R-U-N-E-S. I don't know how to pronounce it, so it doesn't sound like ruins. But anyway, it features this wonderful group called the Estonian Philharmonic Chamber Choir, led by Paul Hillier, and it represents choral singing, which is this great thing in classical music in Iowa, and there's some special places elsewhere, but in some ways Estonia has become the world capital. And when you hear this, you'll hear why. It's the whole CD, it kind of ties in with Kieran because it's kind of inspired by the folk legacy of the Baltics and Finland. This particular piece sets the opening of the Finnish national epic. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, absolutely. That's Bridge of Song by the Finnish composer Veljo Tormis, and it's from the CD Baltic Runes. And there are a number of different composers represented on this album. Are there very different styles?
Yes, some of them are direct folk song settings and have that feeling, too. Should I tell you, Charity, what those words just meant?
Sure.
I have a good mind to start off singing, begin reciting, reeling off a tale of kin, and singing a tale of kind, the words unfreeze in my mouth. Oh, good way to start a radio segment,
that,
huh?
That is. That's absolutely wonderful. All right, how about your second choice?
It's a sonata by Dario Castello, early 17th century in Venice, and it's from a CD called Flights of Fantasy with the Irish Baroque Chamber Orchestra led by the violinist Monica Huggett. She's also playing the violin. She is one of the great violinists of our time, in my personal view, and she started out the standard violin, but she is a person who felt constricted and wanted more freedom as an artist. She found that in the early music movement and playing period violins and playing music that allowed much more improvisation and freedom. And she's also become a very respected conductor. I think you'll hear that as you listen to this. That's Sonata number 14 by Dario Castello. Is that how you said it? Well, I say Castello, but
Castello.
Who knows?
All right. And that's from the CD Flights of Fantasy, led by the violin of Monica Huggett. And Barney, I asked Karen this, and I know this is probably hard to sum up, but do you see trends this year in classical music releases?
Yes, definitely. And a lot of my next choices show some of those trends. In fact, my number three on the list here is from a Beethoven cycle. Beethoven meaning all the piano sonatas. He wrote 32 of them, played by one artist. And I've noticed this kind of strange thing that I call the Beethoven boom. 20 years ago, really, people were saying, it's all been done. There's no point in recording any more Beethoven. Nobody's going to be recording any more Beethoven symphonies or sonata cycles. The industry was going to dry up. But things turned out exactly the opposite. There's twice as many releases of Beethoven cycles per year. I actually have the numbers, Charity, believe it or not. I have like a database. And I think the reasons are sort of obvious for this. Part of it is just digital recording technology has opened things up for so many artists. It's much the barriers to entry to recording your interpretation is much lower. But the other reason is just that there are so many people around the world who love this music and want to put their interpretation on record. I picked Garrick Ohlsson because, first of all, I like his approach to Beethoven, but the other is he has been so indomitable. He's like Beethoven. He started this out in the 1990s on another independent label, which went out of business, like they were saying back then, but he picked it up with this label called Bridge. It's this wonderful New York label. And he just finished it, like, last week. It was when the last cycle came out.
All right. Well, we should listen as we're getting close to a break. So here's Piano Sonata number 3. Just a very small taste of Beethoven's Piano Sonata number 3 performed by Garrick Ohlsson. Right now we're talking about the best new releases in classical music with Iowa Public Radio's Barney Sherman. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and my guest right now is Barney Sherman from Iowa Public Radio's Classical Music Stream. And we are talking about his favorite classical music releases from the past year. And Barney, we've moved on to number 4.
It's a piece called Huapango, which is a Mexican dance by a composer named Jose Pablo Moncayo, Mexican composer. And the title is of the CD is Mi Alma Mexicana, My Mexican Soul, and it's conducted by Alondra de la Parra, a young woman who leads the Philharmonic Orchestra of the Americas. Well, should I start on the talking points on that?
Well, yes, I think that is very interesting that this is a woman conducting this orchestra, and that is a growing trend.
Definitely. There is a huge gender gap in that field. It's already closed in some of the other instruments, I think, pretty much. But with conducting orchestras, as opposed to early music groups like Monica Huggett, there's a long way to go, but there's also a lot of progress and a lot of interest. And for me, she is one of many examples of why I'm sure that in 20 years we'll have gender parity on the podium. So that's one of the trends I see there. The other is the interest in music from south of our border. Latin America is a huge part of the classical music world, and I think we're starting to get it. In fact, yesterday on All Things Considered, they had an amazing story about the Juarez Symphony Orchestra. But all the way down to Chile, there's been an incredible tradition. And then one last reason I chose this CD is it does make you feel good, I think.
That's the best reason, I think.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hard to fade that out, but that's Huapango from the CD Mi Alma Mexicana. And that's just beautiful. How about moving on to number 5?
I chose the Violin Concerto by the American composer Jennifer Higdon. And I picked the second movement, which I think is really beautiful. It was written for an amazing American violinist, Hilary Hahn. So I guess it continues the theme of gender equity, but It's also, for me, an amazing chance to hear how a major composer will write for a great soloist. There's a two-way relationship. There's a back and forth in how the work gets written. So aside from that, there's also, with the rest of the CD, this incredibly beautiful violin concerto by Tchaikovsky. So anyway, here's the second movement from the Jennifer Higdon Violin Concerto.
That's the second movement from the Violin Concerto by the American composer Jennifer Higdon, played by violinist Hilary Hahn. And Barney, this is an album that pairs contemporary compositions with traditional compositions. How often do you see that kind of mix on an album?
It's not uncommon. One of my other CDs that I wish had made the list by a young Russian pianist named Kirill Gerstein has Schumann plus a new work by Oliver Knussen. It's a great way of helping, of giving the listener, people like me, something new but something familiar as well. And actually, now that we're talking about it, the Tchaikovsky kind of leads me to my next pick.
Which is a seasonal pick, kind of.
Yeah, the Nutcracker. You know, I counted how many Nutcracker productions are happening in Iowa. I came up with 12 independent ones, and I probably missed some. So we love the Nutcracker. But musicians can get a little jaded about it. And on this recording, the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Sir Simon Rattle, it feels like they're discovering the music completely afresh, and they're falling in love with it. So, and they play so wonderfully. So I couldn't resist it. The Dance of the Reeds is, I think, the pick.
Dance of the Reeds, a song we all know from the Nutcracker, and that was with the Berlin Philharmonic conducted by Sir Simon Rattle. And when a new recording of something like that comes out, do you think that it tends to eclipse some of the older recordings?
I doubt it, but in this case, it'd be a great Christmas gift, especially because you can get it in various forms, from a download to the deluxe edition, $25, which has a beautiful illustrated booklet and pictures. It doesn't eclipse some of the wonderful old ones, but it lets us hear it, well, with new ears.
And when you listen to something like that, a lot of people whose ears are not particularly trained to listen to classical music, but what is different about this recording to other recordings you've heard before?
Well, one thing is it's brand new, quality sound, wonderful players in the orchestra. You heard the musicians in that selection we just had, it's not necessarily the case that if you have 10 recordings in your collection, you need to buy this one. But if you're slightly tempted, my vote is, yeah, go for it. It's great.
All right. How about selection number 7?
Shostakovich. Here's this trend I noticed. There's this great Russian pianist cropping up, and I wanted to pick one representative, Alexander Melnikov, playing Russian music, the music of Dmitri Shostakovich. This is the fugue in D major from his complete Preludes and Fugues.
The pianist Alexander Melnikov playing the music of Dmitri Shostakovich, the Fugue in D major. And you mentioned that there are a lot of great Russian pianists. We've talked about classical music coming from South America. And I know there's a lot of concern in this country about the audience for classical music shrinking and young people not having enough awareness of classical music and appreciation of classical music to keep a lot of orchestras strong. Do you see that same trend in other countries around the world, or are we unique?
We're not unique, but it looks a lot better when you take a international perspective. There's tremendous growth worldwide in classical music. I've mentioned Latin America, Southeast Asia, incredible things happening there, and in Europe as well. And as for the U.S., I'm surprised at how many young people come along and add to it. So somebody, Alex Ross in The New Yorker, said it's the longest death scene. And, you know, it's like one of those dragged out things where the person never dies. It seems to be much healthier than people expected. I think there'll be surprises.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. How about number 8?
Well, that Shostakovich we heard was inspired by Bach. And I noticed lots of great Bach, especially with the music he wrote for unaccompanied string instruments, violin or cello. Had a lot of choice there, but for our Disc of the Year Christmas pick, I chose a young German violinist named Isabella Faust playing the prelude from Partita No. 3. Thank you.
Bach's Prelude from Violin Partita No. 3, played by the German violinist Isabel Faust. And I think, I know, Barney, that you had a terrible time whittling your list down to 10, but I think we are going to get to 10. If we're moving right along. Number 9.
This is one I picked just because I like it so much. It's the Brahms Intermezzo Opus 119 No. 3, played by a pianist named Murray Pariah. And if you've heard these shows in previous years, I pick Murray Pariah every year. So it's I love his playing, and I love Brahms. Would you like to give it a listen?
Yeah. That's pianist Murray Pariah, and he has a remarkable story, Barney.
He had a great career, already very famous. He cut his right thumb, but he stopped taking his antibiotics before the course was complete. It became septic. He lost the use of his right hand. He could play only with his left hand. But he's recovered the right hand, and his music making has gotten deeper and more beautiful, and, well, every time he comes out with a new CD, I'm really excited. So it's Brahms this year.
Right. I think it's wonderful to share your favorite. I can't think of a better recommendation. And number 10 on your list.
A young tenor, Vittorio Grigolo, who is singing Italian opera. He made his debut at the age of 13 in Rome on the stage with Pavarotti, and people knew immediately what a talent. Well, he's got his first solo CD. He's in his 20s now. And I picked a aria from Donizetti's The Elixir of Love, which is this wonderfully silly comedy. And this is called A Furtive Tear.
And that was Donizetti's The Elixir of Love, sung by the young Italian tenor Vittorio. And say his last name for me again, Barney.
Well, we can fake it together, Charity. How about Grigolo? Does
all
that
right.
sound good?
Well, it's your job to say the difficult names.
I suppose you're right.
And I'll say Barney Sherman. All right. Barney, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me, Charity.
Barney Sherman is a classical music host. You can hear him each morning from 7 to 11 a.m. on our classical music stream, Iowa Public Radio's classical music stream. We will post his list and Karen Impala's list online on our website, iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.